welcome to W Rated, the show where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on this year's Road to Razzies, our annual season of episodes looking at the nominations for the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards 2024. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, would you like to tell us which film we're talking about this episode?
In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the film Fast X. This film only has one nomination in this year's Golden Raspberries. It should have every single nomination, but it is only nominated for Worst Actor for Vin Diesel. In my personal opinion, it should have premake, remake and sequel, director, screenplay, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, worst thing I've ever had to sit through. Are there any other awards available?
The special nominations they give.
Just should have every award ever given. This is how I started my road to Razzies, and not happy.
Hopefully it's all uphill from here. Uphill sounds like a bit of the opposite when you're in a car, though.
Yeah, it's hard driving downhill. No, I love driving downhill, like, whee! Yeah.
Hopefully it's all cruising from here. That really upsets me, because I love a bit of Fast and Furious. Not in any kind of technical terms, just in terms of just having good old-fashioned fun.
What is fun about these films? They gave me a headache.
They're so ridiculous, Claire. They're so ridiculous. But the thing is, I don't know how much, because you haven't seen the previous nine episodes. For anyone who hasn't listened to the teaser of the nine episodes, oh my God, it is nine films. For anyone that didn't listen to the teaser for the season, do you want to just recap your
your
reasoning behind that?
My reasoning is that I never wanted to watch any of these films. I wanted to go to my grave having never had to sit through any of these films. They look like nonsense. Having now watched one, they are the worst form of nonsense. It's an insult to nonsense to call them nonsense. But basically, we have Expendables 4, Indiana Jones 5, and Fast 10 on this list. And I thought I'd do some due diligence and watch the Indiana Jones films, and then I realised that would mean that I'd have to watch 10 of these films, and I instantly decided that was a no, because I'm not spending 10 days of my life only watching these films. Because you know what I really hate as well? I really hate Vin Diesel. I'm really not a fan of Michelle Rodriguez, and I cannot stand Jason Statham. And there's already another Jason Statham film on this list, so I'm not watching
more than one.
Well, there's Meg 2, right?
Oh, is he another? Isn't he in the Expendables?
Oh, for fuck's sake!
He's definitely in the first one.
Oh, Daisy. See, this is where I'm at.
Doing?
I wasn't going to watch 10 of these. I wasn't doing it to myself. And
fair.
I had to take three breaks watching this film. I literally had to turn it off and leave the room three times.
To be fair, I always watch films in parts.
I do not.
Because my attention spans are awful, and also I just wouldn't get, I don't really feel like I get much watch these days anyway. But if I had to sit down and watch, why is every film over 2 hours now? Sorry. But I physically, I actually do find it quite difficult. But then again, maybe it's the pacing and all this. Anyway, I actually watched this over three different days as well.
There was pacing in this film?
No, I mean in general, like, this is a whole other topic of conversation, but some films that are 3.5 hours long don't feel like that because they're actually engaging.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is that the quality, the volume of films that's going on at the moment means the level of quality is kind of going down by like the percentage of them that are actually good, but they're all over 2 hours long. So theoretically what we're doing, literally what we're doing, is watching more films, less quality, for more time.
Well, so this one, case in point, this one was so fucking long and it doesn't even end. It didn't even finish. It literally just cut to black and then there was a submarine and I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And like, it didn't feel like a film. I felt like I was binge watching some sort of confusing Netflix show. It just felt so episodic. With no through line. It was like, okay, now we're going to go follow these guys for a little bit. My pet peeve with ensemble films is when they split up the ensemble. That is like a real pet peeve of mine. And it happens a lot. And I know it's kind of a trope. But like, I'm like, if you have an ensemble film, I want to see them interacting with each other. Sending them off in pairs to go and do their own missions is no fun for anyone. And it screams, we couldn't afford to pay all of them for the same amount of days. And they don't like each other very much. So we had to send them to different sets.
I do think this one is slightly different, just because, and I know that you were informed by Twitter friend Melly after you'd watched it, that this is in fact a part one, which wasn't clear to you at the time.
It's part 10!
I mean, it's not in the title. And I think there is a little bit of like contention over like splitting films into parts these days.
People seem very trying to avoid.
People were trying to, it's like the whole, let's not market this as a musical, but we'll get people on the seats and make them even angrier when they realize. I feel like maybe that might have happened. But for the people that are going to see this, I do think that if they're going to see a 10th film, they probably were aware that this was a part one. So you didn't have that on your side. But I do find that when they do these big, you know, finale, like, but you know, they have to, they try and do it such a large scale that they do end up splitting the ensemble so that they can be in loads of different places, and you know, because there is so many characters now.
Oh my god, that was just like, how can we actually make a story out of all of this? It was like, and now here's this guy.
And like, I just, I feel like there are films that if you watch them on their own, and films should stand on their own as an enjoyable thing, but given it's the 10th in a series, I wasn't surprised that you did enjoy it.
I don't think
without having seen the other ones.
But I don't think my issues with not enjoying it were really, to be honest, my issues with not enjoying it was it defied the laws of physics, the acting was appalling, I just didn't really understand what their purpose was. And I was bored. I literally, some of my notes just say bored. Like,
I don't necessarily feel like that it would be easy to entertain someone. Like, I get where you're coming from up to a certain point. And I think the rest of it is because you don't know the characters. Yeah. So you don't really care about the moments that
I wasn't getting the endorphin hits.
Fun.
I wasn't getting the endorphin hits. Yeah. I've been like, this guy!
But that's the thing, is that they're relying on people. They're relying on those moments to be like, oh, hey, it's that person from that film. If you've not seen them, then you're not going to get... So it's an interesting study for you to have seen this without the prior ones, because although you are already automatically going to get... You're not going to get it all. You are going to view this as a standalone film.
So the thing that confused me the most was that I thought they were criminals. That this film seemed to be implying to me that they were the good guys who have now been accidentally framed as criminals. And I was like, well, I thought they were criminals. That was very confusing.
So we did speak about me giving you a little bit of context on the previous
before
night
this,
films.
Am I meant to believe that Helen Mirren birthed Jason Statham?
The long and short of it is yes.
Okay.
So we previously spoke about me giving you a bit of context. However, there are 9 films, and also you don't like this film, so we didn't want to spend too much time on it. However, we did think that this could be a good opportunity for me to set myself a little bit of a challenge in the spirit of the film. So I'm going to attempt to explain to Claire what happens from 1 to 9 that leads up to Fast X in 90 seconds.
May I give you my what I know from lore that I've picked up?
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
They used to sell DVD players, then they started selling cars, then they do a lot of racing, then there was one film where they went somewhere else and no one liked it, then The Rock hates all of them, so he went off and did a spin-off, but now he's back, and no one likes Brie Larson. I thought Charlize Theron had died. Somehow they went to space, but I guess they came back from space, and I thought Michelle Rodriguez had left, but I guess she came back too. And I'm very confused about who the mother of that child is. And I didn't know John Cena was in these films, so I liked that.
I mean, you've hit some of the points there, just again, without the context. So hopefully, and I'm full disclaimer, I'm not going to get all of this right. I watched all of them. I think I've seen 1 to 7 all the before years ago, and then I watched 1 to 9 last year in preparation of seeing this, and I spent so long doing that I missed it in the cinema. So I literally watched it the other day before the Razzies were announced because it was on my list. So I'm going to try and be fast and furious with this in 90 seconds. I'm going to try and give a very, very rough overview of what I remember. So, you know, don't sue me if I'm wrong, especially in the last few because they all merge into one. Right. I am setting the timer and I'm getting ready to go now. So, yes, you were right. There were DVDs involved in the first film. The first film was very much a grounded look at Paul Walker was a undercover cop. These guys were street racers who were also criminals. And then by the end of the film, he formed a close connection with them and become part of their team. Dom is the main guy. He's Vin Diesel. Brian is played by Paul Walker and he falls in love with his sister. Letty, who is Michelle Rodriguez, is Dom's girlfriend. When it comes to Too Fast, Too Furious, that's just a spin-off of Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson, I think his name is, where they just do a little bit of, they're like, oh God, I'm going to run out, majorly run out of time. I'm not going to be able to do this at all. Third is another spin-off with Han in Tokyo, and then 4, 5, and 6 are actually placed between 1 and 2, so that eventually by 6, Han can come back, and at the end of 3, he was meant to have died, and he can come back. Something like, oh no, he was in those trilogy because he died at the end of 3, so he can come back. I'm never going to be able to do this. I've got 20 seconds left. This is just, let's not use this. This has been terrible. There's no way I'm stopping it. There's no way I can do it in a minute and a half.
That's fine. If you're telling me that this franchise that's gone on for 10 films went from a film to 2 separate spin-offs to then they went back in time and did midquels.
Yeah, so without the pressure of the timer, because clearly that didn't work, they did the main film, 2 sequels, and then they kind of rebooted the series with 4. So 4, 5, and 6 are their own trilogy, and they take place after 1, because in 3, Han is in Tokyo. He's a new character. It's a spin-off. He dies at the end, but they wanted, people loved him, so they wanted to bring him back, so they had to make it happening before 3. 4, 5, and 6 is where it sort of starts to jump the shark a little bit. Well, a lot. It starts to become the series that it now is, where they, you know, Paul Walker was... Brian was an undercover cop and now he's on the side of the criminals. So they're all wanted people, but they're like good people. They're loyal to their family and all of this. So they get like, over the course of those films, they always get hired by people and then they're always being chased by like the FBI and things like that. And every time at the end of the film, the person that was chasing them realizes they're actually the good guys and then they start protecting them. So it's like a continuous thing that happens. Anyway, at the end, I can't remember which one it is, but one of them, you find out that it was Jason Statham that tried to kill Han. So he comes in as a villain in one of them. There's one where they steal literal vaults from the bank.
That's the start of this film.
That's the start of this film. That's how it's connected. There's also Jason Statham's brother that comes into it because Jason Statham ends up on their side at one point. They all start to merge by sort of like 7 is the last film that Paul Walker is in, but he doesn't die in the cinematic universe. He
drives away,
gets out of the game. So he's still alive. And the other thing I forgot is that Letty dies. That's a quote mark there in 4 or 5, I think. And the next film is how actually she's still alive. And it turns out that the person that tried to kill her didn't actually kill her, but she lost her memory. And then she becomes a villain. But whilst she was dead, Dom actually formed a relationship with someone else. Eventually, she's like, your wife's come back from the dead. Like, I'm insignificant. I've been with you for a year. You've been with her for like 15. I'm out, kind of thing. And but then in one of the films when Charlize Theron comes in as a villain, Elena, who's this other girl, comes in and she's just like, this is your child. We had a child. I was pregnant and I've raised him separately. She ends up being killed by Charlize Theron and the little boy called Brian is then raised by Dom and Letty.
Okay.
These ones. There's all sorts of other things going on with all the other characters. As I say, John Cena is meant to be Dom's brother. He's a villain in one of them, and then if he gets turned, onto their side. So we've got to the point now where there's so many characters because every time they have an adversary, they manage to convince them to be on their side. Ergo, why Charlize Theron is kind of on their side in this one.
Basically, the same as the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic cinematic universe, where every time they have a villain, they teach them the power of friendship, and then the villain becomes a good guy and lives in Equestria with them.
It's so similar because instead of the power of friendship, it's the power of family.
Oh, okay, okay. So I'm on board. They just need sparkly outfits. And it was, well, I did appreciate Brie Larson's fits. Brie Larson, love her. Horrifically miscast in this film. Don't know what she was doing. Appalling writing as well.
I don't think she's been in any of the others. She was basically, again, every time something happens to someone, they get like a replacement. Mm-hmm. So her dad is meant to be the Kurt Russell character from like a couple of other ones where he was their guy on the inside who like basically got them the jobs to like save the world and stuff.
Nice.
And then he had an assistant called Little Nobody or something who was Scott Eastwood, who's briefly in this film. So there's just so many people. Like we said, I literally couldn't even do the first two in a minute and a half. That failed spectacularly. So no, I'm neither Fast nor Furious. I am slow and precious.
Oh.
And yeah, as I say, the last few are just, they all merge into one pretty much. But the main thing for you to know for this film, which I'm assuming you've kind of worked out because they did a bit of flashbacks and they kind of hopefully gave you enough to go on, is that the villain of this film is the son of a villain from a previous film. Which
I didn't
is why
really
he
think
wants
that
to
mattered, to be honest. I got one.
It doesn't really.
You thought I'd really like Jason Momoa. I'd neither cared nor bothered.
I wonder if that's because you didn't have the other ones to compare it to, because to be honest, the villains are fine. They're part and parcel of the Fast and Furious films, but this was a very different kind of villain than they've ever done before, which is why I was quite intrigued by it.
The scene of him sat around with the corpses scared the shit out of me. Did not like that scene. Too dark.
Yeah,
too
they've
dark.
Never done it. They've never done anything like that.
Like, I appreciated it. I was like, good work, guys. But I was like, this is so dark. I don't like it. But I think if the film had gone with that level of darkness for the whole of it, maybe I would have been more engaged because that unsettled
me. Right. Yeah, they've never done anything like that before. But in terms of everything that you've described, what you didn't like about it, that's pretty much what the Fast and Furious franchise is. Cool. As I say, the first three are kind of their own thing, but it's... Even two and three start to like jump the shark a little bit in terms of what they're doing. Number one is really the only grounded one. Interestingly, they've said that they want to go back to their roots for part two.
Well, this one kind of got panned, didn't it? This one wasn't well received even by fans.
Well, no, I don't know completely, but it's got 5.8 on IMDb. Just while we're talking about something else, I might take a look at what the scores are for the other.
Because a lot of people as well, obviously loads of people were like, you shouldn't be watching this one if you've not seen the other ones, but then a lot of people were like, I love these films and I thought this one was bad. So
interesting. No, I hadn't. Yeah. I don't think I'd seen, but to be honest, I'm not even going to bother looking at the scores because I know that everyone who's seen it, reviewers and the like, are gonna, it's not gonna be just the fans score.
Yeah.
I think potentially Rotten Tomatoes might be a better indicator, or maybe CinemaScore. But yeah, I mean, I feel like we're very different sides of the fence in this one, but it's not one that I'm going to particularly defend by any means.
I went go-karting the other day, and someone hit me on the go-kart course, and about 8 years ago, I was in a car crash and I got whiplash, and it wasn't even bad whiplash, it wasn't even a bad car crash, it was like a bump. But I got whiplash and had to have physiotherapy for 8 weeks to deal with my whiplash. And I've always had an issue with my shoulder since
just
tiny, this tiny little thing. And then the other day I went go-karting and someone bopped me and my shoulder's been in pain for 3 days since a bop on a go-kart of an 8-year-old whiplash injury. So how the fuck are these people alive?
The wonder of the movies.
And the thing that I had.
The power of family.
The issue I had. The real point where I was enraged and I was heavily texting you was the bomb rolling through Rome, because it is able to roll through brick walls. You see it going down and it literally rolls over the top of multiple cars like a tank.
Yeah.
And then it bops Dom's car like it's on a pinball machine and just goes, oh, sorry, Dom, and off it rolls in the other direction. He can still open his fucking car door. Like, fair enough if you like his car's like extra built in and he's got all this like stuff. But like, you wouldn't be able to open the door. If that ball just rolled over parked cars, then at least you'd have to climb out the boot. like?
I think the reason I can enjoy these films is because I'm more stupid than you. And I don't notice these things.
It just really annoyed me because I was
suspension of disbelief.
I was enjoying the tension. I was like, how is he going to do this? But it was like watching a game of pinball. He was just like, oh, boop. And it was like, okay.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was 100% ridiculous. And it was funny because I text you, but at the end when, so the bomb is rolling towards the Vatican in Rome, and they're trying to check. They drive down the Spanish Steps. Mm. They're like, me and my partner have been to Italy the year before, so I was like, this is great. Mm. I don't think I was more looking out for like what was going on than looking at the physics.
Not the Italy I remember.
Yeah. But there's a bit where you're walking from St. Peter's and there's a bridge, and it's just at this moment on this bridge that Dom somehow flies off the bridge in his car and hits a crane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Stephen came in and I was just like, you need to watch this bit, because it was just like, we walked there and there's this huge set piece, and I watched that bit twice and I loved it because of how ridiculous it was.
No, I wasn't.
You're right, like, if you're not, I guess I was strapped in. I have my helmet of suspension of disbelief on, you know. I don't know how I would truly feel had I not already. Like, it's almost as if I understand how this world works physics-wise. It's not our world. Whereas, it's a different world.
And that's, I think, the issue. I'm like, our world doesn't work like this. Whereas when I watch, like, Iron Man or DC films or stuff, I'm like, that's a whole other universe and a whole other world. I can't. I know that like the Marvel world is not the world that I live in. Whereas this world, I can't cope with. And then my thing as well, I got very annoyed at the end where he was like, "I've taken everything from you," and he was like, "You forgot one thing. You didn't take my car." It's like, that's like the fifth car you've had. You've had like so many fucking cars. Even if he took the car, you'd just take another car.
Yeah, as I say, Claire, I can't really defend any of this. I just had a lot of fun.
I did not. So it was only nominated for one thing, which was worst actor for Far.
I do have to agree with you on that it should definitely have been nominated.
How did it not get screenplay?
He's not great.
Yeah.
But he's not like the thing that it hinges on why it's bad.
Yeah. Like, he's given the same shit acting as pretty much all of them are given. I was actually surprised to not see a Brie Larson nomination, because obviously Brie Larson has a lot of haters. I like Brie Larson. I don't think she was good in this, but I don't think the role was written well either. I don't think she had a lot to do. I don't think it's her world. I like her doing her indie dramas, but obviously she likes to get paid, and I'm sure she got a lovely little check for this. Good for her. But I was surprised actually that like the angry men who hate Captain Marvel didn't just sneak a little diggy dig in there. Actually, surprised no Captain Marvel things either.
Oh yeah, that didn't
do very well.
Did it?
No, I enjoyed it, but that secretly has some musical numbers in as well.
Does it?
It has a musical number. They go to a musical planet where every word spoken is in song.
Okay, that kind of sounds like my shit.
I liked it. She has a princess dress.
This is one for the Ant-Man episode, but I've kind of paused my Marvel watching for now, just for, you know, my psyche.
Yeah,
But no, Fast and Furious isn't on the table.
In fairness, this is only 10. There's like 25 Marvel films, if not more.
I'm still bought into Fast and Furious. Mm-hmm. Like, it knew what it was doing. I've been along for the ride. It's brought me along into its ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. Whereas it shoved its ridiculousness in your face. It's very different vibes.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about, considering it's nominated for Vin Diesel's performance, do we want to talk about that at all?
The problem I have with this, I've not seen a lot of Vin Diesel films. I don't think he's a very good actor. He's managed to find a niche.
Action.
No,
am I hugely, so we've not really got too much to go on.
Yeah, he doesn't seem very good, but I also think this script was appalling. I think the performance is poor and the nomination's fine, but I feel like he's probably doing what he did in all of the other ones. I'm not sure.
I think so. Yes and no. I think, yes, I don't think he's a particularly well-renowned actor generally. I have to say, I do think, I'm just trying to think back to see if I ever really felt like he was giving any more in the previous ones. I think probably some of the first ones where he was a bit younger. I mean, he's only in one, and then he's in four. He's not in two or three.
Okay.
But I did watch back some scenes when we had the nominations. I wasn't going to watch the film again. Mm-hmm. And then I started to go, oh, yeah, he is wooden. Like, yeah. I can see why the nominations come through. And as you say, it doesn't help this specific dialogue. I can't say that it's like a fall from grace or anything to be specifically nominated for this one. I don't know whether he was nominated or they were nominated for any of the previous ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he has been nominated in the past. Razzie Awards. Oh, only one previous. He was nominated in 2005 for The Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, okay. Chronicles of Riddick, all I remember is that it's quite a stylistic looking film. I don't know anything about it, but it also doesn't surprise me as being Razzie-nommed because I feel like that's my initial reaction is that it's one of those kind of films.
Yeah, that's definitely it. I don't know what context it has in the grand, you know, scheme of things.
No, but this is it. It's like, why this one?
Mm.
I understand why this film was nominated. It's not even in sequel.
No.
So yeah, it's an interesting choice, and I wonder whether it's just one of those things where maybe the category was a little bit slim this year.
Yeah, maybe it did get nominated and didn't make the shortlist. Maybe it made the long list but not the shortlist for the other awards.
And we all know about talking about who made the cut recently, don't we? So it does make you consider what the wider context of these things are. Is there anything else you wanted to share about Fast X or Fast 10? And I'm really upset that they did not use the tagline Fast 10, your seatbelts.
Oh, that would have been good.
It would have been good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't think they really go for like seatbelt safety in these films.
No, they've got like the full race gear. Hunters. They've got to, Claire. They've got nitrous. They'd be smushed to pieces.
So two quick questions.
They should be smushed to pieces anyway, but.
How long has Han been back? Did he only come back in the previous film? Because they kept making jokes at the start about him being dead.
Okay, so...
What film did he come back in?
He was...
From the dead.
I want it... I want to say, like, 8 or 9.
Mm, okay, that's cool. I feel like it was 9. I feel like people were really happy about that on the internet.
Yeah, I think it was 8 or 9. And the reason that they were making jokes about it specifically around Jason Statham was because Jason Statham was the one who was supposed to have killed him.
Right, okay, that makes sense. And when did they go to space, and do we know how they got back from space?
I think that was 9, and I think it was only Tyrese who was in space. And I can't remember if that's his actual name or the... or the character's name. Fast... Space. That's not what I'm space. That was 9. That was the one where like I just stopped paying attention, to be honest.
Fair enough.
Oh no, his name's Roman. He's Tyrese Gibson.
Oh, you just kept making the jokes about Roman going to Rome.
Yes. I'm sorry, I can't really give you
any info on the
too
space.
Much on that, because not ironically, it's the one I remember the least, because I've only watched that one once, whereas 1 to 7 I've seen multiple times.
And
what my life is.
One last quick question. Are you as scared as I am about people saying that the next step... I mean, I'm not going to watch the next one, but people are saying that the next one's going to have to involve time travel. They're like, it's the only way they could do this.
The natural next step. I would just love to see how they do it, personally.
Cool.
I would love it. I know Marvel's a whole other kettle of fish, but I loved Endgame, and that was very time travel related. So if they can, like, I don't know, infuse that, given that it's like, it shouldn't work, it's not the same kind of universe, but they've done 10 films, they've got all these people. If they could go back, they keep saying they're going to go back to their roots.
Time travel.
So if they go back to their roots via time travel... I can't wait to see it, because it's just that there should be something beyond jumping the shark. Oh, jumping the Megalodon.
I'll understand that reference next week when I've watched
the movie. You will. It's in awe. I'm watching in awe. Mm-hmm. Not because it's necessarily good, it's just because it's fascinating.
Okay.
So as I say, had fun. Can't really defend it. I know it's a cock of shit. It's so ridiculous. But I can't deny I had fun with it. And as I say, this was a very interesting take on a villain. They've not really done this style of villain before.
Mm-hmm.
So I did appreciate that. But I can't wait to see how they eventually convince him that he's family and he goes to the family barbecue, as they all do at the end of every other film.
I feel like he'd like a barbecue.
So do I. I feel like they'd actually all get on really well.
I feel like he'd bring really good cocktails. He'd make a really good barbecue cocktails.
Yeah, like a margarita.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he could paint all of their nails.
Yeah. Great. There you go.
But yeah, who knows what's going to happen next film. I'm not sure when it's being released. I'm not sure if it's even began shooting yet. But I've come this far, so I'll probably get a ticket. But yeah, overall, don't really understand why Vin Diesel's nominated versus the other ones, because, as I say, I can't defend it. I don't think this is a particularly well-crafted film. It's good in what they set out to do. People like it. People go, like, not every film has to be good to be enjoyable and entertaining. But my theory definitely is that maybe the lead actor category was a bit slim picking mm-hmm. to the ship.
There we go.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we hope you can join us for another mini episode as we tackle another Razzie-nominated film on our road to Razzies 2024.